All right. We are going to be in Psalms 96. We're going to read the entire chapter, praise the Lord. Psalms 96, starting in verse 1 to verse 13. So you can use a Bible in front of you, or you can use your phone. I'm going to give you just a second to turn there. And so, like Pastor Ron said, we are in our Set Apart series. And today we're focusing on God is holy. We are focusing not on the self-work of us being set apart, but that we serve a God who is set apart, who is different, who is greater, who is more than. And so because of that, he calls us to be set apart. But today we're going to focus on the glory and the magnificence and the wonder and the character of God. So let's get going. Psalms 96, verses 1 through 13. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nation are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the people with equity. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. Let all creation rejoice before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and his people in his faithfulness. Now, there's a lot going on here. Now, this chapter is an old Hebrew hymn sung to Yahweh, to God the Most High. And I don't know if you caught this. I had to read it about 55 times to catch this. But there's a theme here. It's sing to God, tell everybody about it. This is why God's worthy. Then, again, it goes sing or ascribe to God, tell everybody about it. This is why he is worthy. The trees are going to sing, and then God's going to judge the world. Okay, and that's why we should sing, because God is coming to judge the world. So there's a couple big themes here, so let's dive right in. So the three main themes that we see in this chapter is, one, is the holiness of God. Now, holiness means set apart, different, for a special purpose, perfect, beautiful. We see what our response should be, our biblical response. There's so many words used to describe what we should do, and we're going to get into that. And then last but not least, it's God's judgment, his righteous judgment. And his righteous judgment, the whole of creation, the oceans, the fields, the streams, the trees are waiting and singing because they can't wait for God to judge the world. Okay, that's kind of crazy to think about. So we're going to get into that. So the first one is the holiness and awesomeness of God. So here's some of the words in the chapters. Glorious. He's great. He's the creator. He's majestic. He's holy. He's a righteous judge, and he's set apart. And the first step for us as human beings to have any sort of relationship or understanding of God, or for in any way try to better our life, is to understand first and foremost that God is different and better and greater than us. There was a theologian back in the day, and he described this. He said, God is not in the story. He is the writer, but he writes himself into the story. You see, God is the architect, the artist, the creator, the writer of everything, and he is so much greater than us, we can't hardly fathom who he is. And it's not just because the Bible says so. I'm telling you so. God is great. He is majestic. He is holy. He is wonderful. He is powerful. Just like those young ladies said, God is greater. So the first step, we must acknowledge God for who he is. But he is great and he is worthy to be praised. Have you ever met somebody for the first time and you think, this is probably the worst person I've ever met in my life? Like, this person is lame, they're stoic, like, I don't never want to talk to them again. And then the next time you meet them, you're like, oh, maybe I misjudged them a little bit. And then the next time you're like, wow, you know what, I totally misjudged them. And then you guys are best friends by like time number three. Has anybody ever done that? Okay, maybe not that extreme, but no one really? Okay, you guys are good people. But I've definitely done like, wow, that guy's kind of stinks. But then like, wow, now he's my best friend. And so with God, the whole world, the secular world, is trying to push this narrative that we have to defend God because he's evil, he judges people, he hurts people, he excludes people. But the Bible and the reality of when you have interaction with God is that he is so wonderful and holy and set apart, is that all we can really do is respond to how amazing he is. And that's the first step, is realizing how wonderful God is. And I got two quotes here for you. So the first quote says, our personal holiness is grounded in the holiness of God. When we see him, we worship him in the beauty of his holiness. See, being set apart first and foremost is all about understanding that God is not like us. He is majestic. He is set apart. And our only hope of being set apart is not to try harder, get a new diet, get a new boyfriend or girlfriend, but it's to understand that God, you, the majestic God, you are the goal, and I have to invite you into my life, and you can make me set apart. The second quote, Pastor Ron quoted this last week. It says, consecration is not a vow we make. Consecration is the vow God makes. We cannot consecrate ourselves. God consecrates us. And for everyone who fasted and has been praying this last week or is going into a time of fasting or getting ready to start this year, you'll find that when you fast, it's not really saying, okay, God, I'm ready. Like, I'm going to do better now. It's saying, God, I'm giving you parts of me that I've been keeping from you. And if you touch them and consecrate them, then I can be changed. That's what understanding who God is, how set apart God is. So let's look at point number two. This is our biblical response, our response, theme two. When we experience a holy God, we cannot help but respond. When we experience a holy God, this morning, if this is your first time, welcome. I'm super glad you're here. If this is the 100th time you've been here, awesome. I'm super glad you're here. But when you experience God, when you experience testimonies of people's lives getting changed, if you experience worship like that, you really have three responses. Is one, you can reject and walk away. You say, you know what? That's not for me. Those people are strange. You can reject and walk away. Right? That's not the right response. Okay. Number two is you can try to appease God with your religious duties and actions. Some people, and this was me for many years, I would go to church with a checklist and I would try to mark off my checklist every week. Okay, I got to read my Bible. I've got to go to church. I've got to try to sin a lot less, right? And it was all about me, but I was really trying to appease God with my own actions. And the third is what the psalm tells us about, is that we can respond appropriately. This is what the Bible tells us to do. It says to sing, declare, fear, bring offerings, worship, describe, rejoice, and sing some more. This Bible has, or this verse has a ton, this chapter has a ton of singing. And this week as I was preparing, I listened to probably three or four sermons on this chapter, and every single one of them agrees on this one point. The call to sing is literal. Now, I don't know about you guys, and don't worry, I'm not going to make you sing. My pet peeve in life, top 10 at least, maybe top three, not three, pet peeve is being told to sing when I don't want to sing, or being told to dance when I don't want to dance. Does anyone ever put you on the spot like, oh, so-and-so, he can do this, he can do that. You're like, I don't want to do that. I want a day off, right? That's not in my contract. I don't have to do that. But that's my pet peeve. I hate when someone asks me to sing or do something. Like, I don't want to do it. There's something in me that hates. It makes me super uncomfortable. But the older I get, the more I realize that life is so much more fun when you sing. When somebody starts a Christmas carol, sing along. When there's a dance party, go dance. You know, at the reception after the wedding, and there's half the people sitting, half the people dancing, the people dancing are having more fun. Go dance. Go dance. And there were so many years through high school and college, I was not the dancer. I was sitting in the corner, whatever. But it clicked in me and says, it doesn't matter how you dance, it's go dance. Because there's an emotional response that happens when you sing and when you dance. Even when you don't want to. Even when you don't want to. And this is a hilarious story. You guys are going to like this. So my first year of actually dating Ashley Dew, my beautiful wife, and we weren't even engaged yet. We'd been dating for 1 month. And I went over to her parents' house, and her whole family was there, and it was Christmas Eve. And so we were doing like a special white elephant for me. I wasn't in the family yet, so I couldn't be there like on Christmas Day and do the gifts. But, you know, they were still trying to check me out and see if I was the right guy. And I was there Christmas Eve. And if you know Ashley's family, they are so musical. Actually, each one of them is involved in like as a worship leader in worship. So she has two brothers and one sister, and they're super musical. And so now that I've been married for, you know, a number of years, I'll just go into the kitchen and start a song, and everyone will join in and start singing. It's hilarious. Just dance parties will break out, singing will break out. Everyone's singing and dancing all the time. But I didn't know that. So I go there, 1 month in, and we're doing white elephants, so you take turns. And they, before I got there, had decided to pull a little prank on me. And so they're so musical. They have this thing called the djembe drum. It's like a Congo drum that they got. And anyway, so what they would do is whosever turn it was, they would start beating on the drum, and the person who had to get the gift had to start like dancing and get the gift. And they were so into it. And I was like, okay, this is really strange. This is really weird. And I remember in that moment thinking, okay, Ben, it does not matter what you want to do. You got to get Ashley. You got to get her. This is your point. And so when my name was drawn, number whatever, they started, and I just, I went in, and I passed. Yes. And I got her, and she's my wife. Yes. And this is a perfect illustration because when the psalm, when the chapter says sing, it's not saying, do you want to sing? Do you feel like singing? Are you a good singer? Are the people in the room that you're comfortable singing in front of? It says sing. It says sing. And I remember I had to focus in that moment, not on what I wanted, but on the person who I was trying to impress. And that was my wife, Ashley. And that's what we have to think. When we experience a holy God, it's not about what do I want to do, because you may never want to sing. You may never want to share. You may never want to ascribe to God or worship him or bring in the offering or serve. You may never want to do those things, but it's not about you. It's all about him. It's all about who he is and he's set apart. So when he calls you to sing, you've got to sing. And it's funny, if you come to our house, the Dew House, Dew Ranch, out in the country, seems like the country. But if you come to our house, and with me and Ashley, you can tell if I'm having a good day or a bad day. If I have a good day, I will be singing around the house. You can ask Ashley. I will make up songs. I'll be singing to KJ. I'll be singing to Ashley. I'll be singing to the Lord. And it's because when I'm happy, I just sing. And so singing is a response of the heart, right? And it's so funny. Singing, it just touches you in an emotional way that almost nothing else can. And growing up with three sisters and no brothers, we didn't watch a lot of action movies. It was a lot of like old English, Victorian, Elizabethan, Pride and Prejudice type stuff. But with Rachel, my sister, you know, the wonderful singer, being in opera, we listened to every single musical we watched, from The Sound of Music to Oklahoma, just and everything in between. And so I would kind of be in the room, not really focusing on the TV. I maybe would be like with my laptop or there. But through the years, I've heard every single musical. And so now when those musicals pop up, it surprises Ashley because I know all the words. And I sing them to Ashley. But there's something about that is I remember very little from like certain parts of my childhood, but I remember the musicals. I remember the music. Because when you sing, it takes your whole body, your whole emotion, everything in you to actually sing. You got to think about the words. You got to think about how you're singing. Then you actually have to do it. And it's amazing. Singing is a powerful tool. Singing also really helps you remember things, right? I guarantee you this, if you grew up in church, you remember old worship songs, but you do not remember any old sermons. I guarantee you. If you could open the eyes of my heart, Lord, we could sing that right now. Everybody would know it, right? No, I'm not going to do it. Nope, not yet. I'm not ready. I'm still healing. Come on. Right? But you won't remember sermons, but you'll remember songs. So when you sing to God, you actually connect with him on a spiritual level, and you remember him. You remember that moment. And then when more trials and hardships come up, a new song will come. And you'll sing again, or you'll sing songs that got you through challenges, or you'll sing things. But singing is so powerful. So we see in this chapter, the first thing we do is we sing. We sing to God. We sing about how great he is. We focus on him, not on us. We sing. And then we always share. This sermon I listened to this week, one of the pastors, he said, really evangelism and mission and inviting new people is you're basically just inviting people to the heavenly choir. Is that our Christian life should be singing to God. And as the nations and the whole world see us set apart, singing to a holy, wonderful God, they should join in the choir and start singing with us. Right? Evangelism is so easy. It's not about getting people to a church and doing a process and being religious. It's about, I serve an amazing, wonderful God. And you can serve him too. And he can set you free. And he's wonderful. And he's powerful. And he heals. And he loves you more than you could ever know and ever imagine. Come on. All right, last theme, is God's righteous judgment. Now, if you are like me, you're probably thinking, why on earth is everybody so darn excited for God to judge the world? Right? I've spent most of my life terrified of God judging the world, right? That the apocalypse is going to happen, the world's going to end, Armageddon, you know. I think we thought the world was going to end last year a little bit. But why is everyone so excited? And there's two reasons why. It's because the judge, well, there's three reasons why. The first one is because the judge is righteous. The judge is righteous, and he's judging in faithfulness. You see, we can trust the judge that's coming. He's not evil. He's not a respecter of persons. He doesn't play favorites. He's righteous. He's just. Every sinful deed done in the body will be judged. Every bad person that has wronged anyone or wronged you will be judged. And you will be judged for everyone you've wronged. That's the flip side of that coin. But number two is God will make things right. It shows that creation is so excited. Like why if you read the Bible a little bit, you notice that they always talk about like birds singing and flowers declaring the voice of the Lord, and the rocks will cry out, and there's all this nature praising God. And like, I don't know if you've been outside, crickets, I don't hear any of that, you know what I mean? But it's talking about how nature itself in Romans, nature groans, creation groans for the coming day of the Lord, right? And this is why, because when God comes, when Jesus comes back a second time, he will make everything right. He will put an end to death, disease. He will put a death to sin. He will put a death to mortality, to everything going bad, to tornadoes, to hurricanes. God will set things right. And so creation, they cannot wait for that day that God comes back and he sets everything right. Everything will be in order. Everything will be as it should be. It says he will wipe every single tear from your eye. All right, number three. Is really a question. Are you, am I, are we ready for Judgment Day? Because Judgment Day is great. I can sing about it. The trees will sing about it. If you are on the right side of judgment. But if you are on the wrong side of judgment, the Bible declares that those who do not know God will be cast away from him into outer darkness. It's the place the Bible calls hell. Jesus talked more about hell than he did about heaven. And the question we have to ask ourselves today is, as we're starting 2024, if Judgment Day came, if I was to die tonight, would I stand on the right side of judgment? Would I be with the trees singing? Or would I be cast into outer darkness? Would I spend eternity in hell? And this is a prelude, and this actually gives us hope, because we have the opportunity to be on the right side of judgment. You see, we are not set apart. We are common. We are dirty. We all sinned. Every single person in here, from the smallest to the biggest, I guess, the youngest to the oldest, have sinned against a holy God. I am probably one of the worst sinners in this room. But God gave away for me and for you to be on the right side of judgment. He says, I'm set apart, you're not. So what I have to do is I have to send my son who is holy and consecrated to live the life you should have lived, died the death you deserve to die, that if you believe in him, he would sacrifice and substitute with you, that you may also be set apart, that you may be the righteousness of Christ Jesus. So as we see the holiness of God, how set apart he is, we have three responses. You can reject this and say, this is not for me, maybe next semester. You can say, you know what, I'm just going to give it a couple more weeks, but I'm going to flake out like I do everything else. That was a bit harsh. But I'm going to flake out, or I'm just going to try to appease God. Or you can respond and say, you know what, I don't want to sing. I don't want to give God my life. I don't want to put my faith in Jesus, but I know it's true, and I know Jesus is coming, and I want to be on the right side of judgment. And let me tell you this, if you put your faith in Jesus Christ this morning, if you put your faith in what Jesus did for you, not your own effort, not your own actions, that you will be saved and your life will never be the same. You know, I'll tell you this, I will never go back to my life of sin. Because I've tasted and I've seen the goodness of God. And just like the trees, I can sing. From a guy who would never sing, I will sing. I will sing to the Lord. I will tell how good he is. And if you can't trust anybody else, trust me, God is real. He loves you. But he is just and he is righteous and he is coming to judge the world. And you know what? I don't think it's going to be for a long time. But anyway, we get the chance to serve him and love him and put our faith in him. So as you start out 2024, if you need to get right with Jesus, if you need to give him your heart, this is the Sunday for you. This is the Sunday for you. Because I believe that God's desire is for all of the nations to sing. That's why in this there's invitations to the nations. All creation, all nations, all peoples, the entire world is invited to come sing how great God is and enter into his covenant of how great he is. So we have a chance this morning. If you need to say, God, you're set apart, I'm not, I need you, I'm going to give you that chance today. So keyboardist, let's come on up. It's a lot of denim. That's my sister. She looks great. She's wonderful. It's my sweet sister. But let's pray. Lord, I love you. Lord, we thank you for today. Father, I just pray for everybody in this room that has been trying to earn it on their own, that has been trying to be set apart by themselves, to just work harder, to just do more. Maybe they're religious. Maybe they're a-religious. Maybe they don't even know if they even fully believe in God, but they know they're being touched this morning. Lord, I pray that you would touch every single person that needs to respond this morning. And Lord, we just thank you that you give us the opportunity to become your people, that you invite us to come sing and experience you, and then you also invite us to respond to who you are. You invite us to have our lives changed, just like Sky and Kina. Lord, you invite us. And Jesus, we thank you that you came down and you died on the cross for us so that we could have your righteousness. So we don't have to earn it, but we could enter into what you did for us. And we just thank you for that, Jesus. If this morning you need to get right with Jesus and you need to give him your heart, not as a religious duty, not as just being an altar call warrior who just every altar call you go to, but if really in your heart you say, I want to surrender. I want to experience God. I want to worship him. I want to sing. I want to experience the holiness of God. I'm ready to surrender today. If that's you, I just want you to come join me right in the front at the altar. If that's you. Thank you, Lord. Come on up. If the Lord is pounding on your chest, you say 2024, it's the year I want to get right. I want to give it to you. Thank you, Lord. We'll give you a couple more moments. Thank you, Lord. Lord, for everyone who wanted to respond, maybe just staying in their seats, Lord, I pray that you would touch them, that you'd be with them. And Lord, give them the courage to talk to somebody after church and just tell them what you're doing. Lord, I pray that they'd have no condemnation for not coming up here. Lord, if there's anyone, I just pray that you would just touch them where they are. Show them how much you love them and how much you want to set them free. In Jesus' name. I want to pray for one more group of people. This is the group of people who would say, I love Jesus. I have a relationship with him. And I go to church and like, I know he saved me. And I'm believing and I'm trusting in who Jesus is and what he's done. But sometimes when I get the call to sing, I don't sing. Sometimes when I feel the Holy Spirit tell me to do something, I don't do it. Sometimes I hide in my comfort. Sometimes I don't give God my best. I don't do what I know I'm supposed to do. Or I get distracted with other things. I get distracted with work or with study, and I don't really give God the best. And I don't honor him as being set apart, as majestic and holy. And if that's you, I just want to pray a prayer for you. So if that's you, I just want you to just pray this under your breath and just say, Jesus, please forgive me, Lord, for not doing everything you've called me to do, for not singing when you call me to sing, for not sharing when you call me to share, Lord, for focusing more on myself sometimes than on you, Lord, for being worried about what other people think, for being worried about my reputation or worried about not having enough energy or not having enough money, or not having enough time to truly give you my best. Lord, please forgive me.